My name is Emily Hines, and I attend Houston City Council meetings, and I take notes. Today's notes are from the council meeting on April 16th, 2025. I did a quick version of the notes this week due to some life stuff that took up a big chunk of my Wednesday, so I didn't have time to do a lot of research or get into very many weeds. I will also not cover pop-off. So first up, the mayor's report. The mayor proclaimed April 17th as Houston Rockets Red Day. He congratulated them on making it to the playoffs, took photos with the delegation present, and several council members made remarks. Next, Mayor Whitmire has been teasing for months about drainage lawsuit negotiations, and he finally revealed the result. I have some backstory. Voters approved a charter amendment in 2010 requiring a certain amount of ad valorem tax be put into the Dedicated Drainage and Street Renewal Fund, or the DDSRF for short. But two residents sued the city in 2019 for not following through, and the case has been in the courts ever since. Whitmire negotiated a deal with the plaintiffs, so rather than a sharp increase, the city will instead gradually increase its contribution to the fund over time. It's going to start with $16 million this fiscal year, then $48 million next year, and then the full amount by 2028. I'm going to include a link to a Houston Public Media article that has some more background if you want to read more about that. Whitmire said that resolving the drainage lawsuit will address budget shortfalls. It's going to fulfill campaign promises that he made and put hundreds of millions of dollars into repairing infrastructure. I did not fact check that math. He said, quote, "This could not have happened without my office leadership, Chief of Staff Chris Newport, and myself. Our team has been meeting for weeks, if not the last several months, with these two honorable men," meaning the lawsuit plaintiffs, end quote. Regarding the fiscal year 2026 budget, Chris Newport said the city will contribute about $75 million more into the DDSRF than in previous years. The two plaintiffs, Jones and Watson, were both in the council chamber, and they thanked the mayor for approaching them about reaching a resolution, which is something the previous administration did not want to do. I did fact check that, and it's true. They both said that every district can look forward to having more money to spend on drainage and street projects. Councilmember Peck congratulated the team on the resolution, but she criticized how the money will be spent. She said the DDSRF has money left over every year, even though there are shovel-ready projects waiting for approval. She also wants to make sure the funding is equally distributed. Councilmember Pollard said that many projects still won't get done even with more funding because the workers just aren't available. Councilmember Plummer advocated for spending this money using a worst first strategy. Next, I'll go over some of the agenda items that were discussed or that caught my eye when I scanned the agenda after the meeting. Item 2 approved $10 million over 3 years for repair parts and services for fire trucks. Item 5 approved $204,000 for a large-scale signage printer for the airports. Item 7 approved $50,000 for LED lighting at various parks. Item 9 approved $19 million through February 2029 for office and cleaning supplies from Staples. Item 13 confirmed the appointment of 23 municipal court associate judges. Mayor Whitmire made remarks. Here's a quote. "We're looking for great things from the municipality courts. I know you still have 4 courtrooms that are boarded up from Harvey, which I find outrageous. We're making significant progress to find you a new facility and expedite the court process. At one time, traffic court was the second largest revenue source in the city of Houston. But in recent years, due to COVID, due to the facilities, and quite frankly, some of the morale issues of HPD, which has all been fixed, we're looking for great things from our municipal court to do a better job and participate in traffic enforcement, public safety, protection of pedestrians, walkability, and all the things that a great city provides," end quote. I know that's a lot of words for a quote that I'm relating to you via podcast, but I just think it's interesting that the mayor said COVID facilities and morale issues of HPD have all been fixed. Like, we're done with that now. And also, he really highlighted protection of pedestrians and walkability, which is something he just frankly is not known for. All right, moving on. Item 19 approved the renaming of Terminal E at IAH to the Sheila Jackson Lee Terminal E, in honor of the late Congresswoman. Several of Jackson Lee's family members were in attendance and remarked on her legacy and this honor. Many council members praised Jackson Lee and her many years of service. Item 28 approved $11 million over 3 years for intelligent manhole monitoring equipment, installation, and monitoring services. Councilmember Castillo said, quote, I think that we should encourage other departments to look for technologies like this that can monitor, that can alert, that can streamline, so we can improve our operations and our efficiencies, end quote. Item 29 extended the contract with the company responsible for the sale of property taken into possession by the police department and the airports that is considered abandoned personal property. Councilmember Kamen voted no because she had questions on how this item relates to asset forfeiture that were not answered in time. Councilmember Jackson voted no, but she did not comment. Even with these two people voting no, it definitely passed. Item 40 approved $12,000 for armadillos, which are the small concrete slugs used to protect bike lanes. Councilmembers Kamen, Jackson, and Alcorn all tagged this last week, but it was not discussed at all this week. Item 47 created a short-term rental ordinance, so people operating short-term rentals like Airbnbs or VRBOs will need to pay a $250 registration fee. They'll have to comply with a free online human trafficking training, and the city has some discretion about when to revoke those permits based on violations. There was some discussion today, but it was quite tedious and probably not of interest unless you operate a short-term rental or are an attorney who plans to engage with short-term rental policy and litigation, or maybe if you're a neighbor of a party Airbnb near you, then you want to make some complaints. There was no discussion on how short-term rentals affect housing stock, housing costs, or displacement, which are all issues that I think a lot about. And that was the Houston City Council meeting on April 16th, 2025. I'm going to plug a column that I started writing recently for Houstonia Magazine. It's a catch-up of what has happened at council over the past month. I like it because it's a place where I can track ongoing issues and give some follow-up when things are circled back to, which is a little difficult to do in the weekly notes where I'm just summing up the meeting. It's a quick read, and it would be cool if you check it out. The link will be available where the links are attached to this podcast. Hopefully, I don't know, that's really up to Connor. Okay, moving on. You can find the resources I used to compile these notes on my website, which is emilytakesnotes.com. And that's also where the notes themselves live, if you decide you would rather read than listen, or if you want to share them with anyone. Thank you to our Patreon supporters. We use that money to keep the podcast edition of the notes afloat, and that link is patreon.com/EmilyTakesNotes, if anyone listening would like to help us with that effort. This podcast was recorded by and has music by Joe Wathney, and it was produced by Connor Clifton. That's it for this week. I am Emily Hines, and I thank you for listening.